Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following this ministry. It's a ministry that God has laid on my heart to just try to reach whoever is seeking truth. And we are going through a series, and this is a long series, and man, it's spiritual warfare, right? So when I am preaching and teaching on spiritual warfare, man, you talk about Satan ratcheting it up on me, and of course my dog. You can hear my dog in the background, she's barking too, but he ratchets it up. So keep me in your prayers, and I pray, you know, through this, and I know God is using it. If it reaches one person, it influences one person to get into the scripture, to start looking at the scriptures and gaining strength from that, and understanding that we are in a spiritual war that's made of spiritual battles that we will face every day as disciples, as soldiers, as Christians for Jesus Christ. And we have to armor up. And last week, if you haven't listened to that one, last week we went into that third part of the armor, that third part of the armor of God, and that was our feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So if you haven't listened to that one, I encourage you to go back and listen to that's part 13. So 13 so far, and this will be part 14, our spiritual warfare series. And we're kind of just focusing, I want to still focus on this topic of peace. More specifically, I want you to get this, brother and sister. Our peace is very important. But our peace does not come from ourselves. Our peace does not come from ourselves. Our peace comes from Jesus Christ. He is that solid rock that we lay hold onto. We cling to Him more than anything in this world. He is our solid rock. He is a solid foundation. No other foundation works in this life. He's the anchor of our soul. He's the anchor of our hope. And we in this life will have challenges. We will face difficult trials, difficult situations, and it will rattle us. I know in my life, I've ran across some difficult challenges, and I am not immune to face more before it's over with. And if you follow this ministry, you know that I do not subscribe to the pre-trib. I believe it's one of those things that Satan has infiltrated the church with, and the mid-trib too, and I know this is controversial, and it's just what it is, but time is starting to wrap up, guys. And if you're clinging to that, I'm not saying you're not my brother. I am not saying you're not my sister in Christ. I'm saying that devil, you have allowed Satan to blind you from the reality of the truth. That if you live your normal life cycle, you will see the Antichrist of the end time. And you will go to a time of persecution, especially here in America, that has never been seen before. And you need to prepare yourself. I think of when Jesus was speaking of Noah and the days of Noah. Noah was ridiculed, guys. And most scholars put back in that day when Noah was preaching truth, the coming judgment, rain, the deluge. He was mocking, he was ridiculed. But millions were living in that time. How many got on the ark? 8. It was Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. So 6, 7, 8. There was 8 out of millions living in that time. You know, and when Jesus says, as the days of Noah, that really, it hits my heart hard, because I just think about Noah. We don't know too much about Noah, but we know that he was obedient. He listened to God. He wasn't perfect, but he loved God and he was obedient. He preached truth. And man, many did not listen. Many perished. And I think of the time is coming when the Antichrist will come in on scene, and you will have this one world government and this one world religion. And those not fully committed to Christ, that love this world more than they love Jesus. Because if you truly are a disciple and you are truly a soldier of Jesus Christ, you will not take the mark of the beast. You will not yield, regardless what it may cost you. You will stand strong. You will persevere to the end. And you will have peace. Last week we looked
at how Jesus speaks through his word, through Paul.
In Philippians, speaking about that peace that surpasses all understanding. The world cannot understand. They can't grasp the peace that we can have when we're placed in situations, challenging situations. And man, you could just go in the Old Testament and look at many that were faithful to God. I preach a lot on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go back and go look at those scriptures. They didn't yield. They were going to face a furnace that was so hot. The men that threw them in there, they vaporized them. That's how hot it was. But before that, they knew it was cranked up. And they said, we know our God can deliver us. But if not, and they were speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, we're okay with that. Why? Because they knew. They didn't fear death. They knew when this life was up, where they were going. Man, we have to have that. And that's what breaks my heart, especially here in America. We don't have that. We go to church when it's convenient. We worship Jesus and praise him when it's convenient. We don't have the fear of God, that reverence in our soul daily. But we need it, right? We should be clinging to Jesus every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, to the one that holds our tomorrow, our Savior, our master of the storm in this, the storms in this life that we will experience. We should not place our faith in men. We should not place our faith in a person in the pulpit preaching or on a social media. No, we place our faith in the one, Jesus Christ. Guess what? That man in the pulpit, that man that's on your social media, he will fail you. But guess what? Jesus Christ will never value? Yes. Will storms be uncomfortable? Will challenges be uncomfortable? Yes. They will. And we talked about how, if you guys have not listened to part one, that's the whole point of this spiritual warfare. It just could not be covered in one sermon. It has to be placed into a series. And this just is a combination of, it's not God's fault that this world is fallen. It's ours. And we have to feel that sting. But through His Son, Jesus Christ, tells us, as a child of God, our best life is yet to come. So we need to lean on Him, right? We should not let our emotions control us. Because if we do, we will not react the way God needs us to react. In those difficult times, those difficult situations that we will face, emotions come second. God's word comes first. This is so missed today, where emotionism is number one and God's word is number two, three, four, whatever. It could be on the last of that column, because people do not want to look at God's word. We look at God's word and we see if it matches up with our emotions. Oh, I feel this. Oh, I feel that. Oh, God is telling me to, I'm married and to leave my wife for another woman. I feel that God's leading me. What does God's word say? God's word says, no, that ain't correct. And you're operating not in God's way, in your way, in your emotions. And when you do that, you're operating, your peace will be disrupted, because your peace is not on that solid rock. It's not anchored. You're not truly clinging to His word, and your eyes are not focused on the one that holds your tomorrow. And that peace that you're holding that's of this world, guess what? It will crumble like a building on the sinking sand. Oh, do not do that, brother and sister. Cling on His word. There's many passages that we could go into to talk about this continuing topic of peace. The one that God laid on my heart to preach on, I've preached on it quite a few times, is Mark 4:36-41. That's Mark 4:36-41. It says, when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they, as disciples, woke Him, that's Jesus. And this is what they said to Him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And He rose, He rebuked the wind, He said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it ye have no faith? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this message, guide it, direct it. Let Your voice be louder than mine. Let it penetrate the hearts of those listening. If they need to be rattled, rattle them. Awaken them from their slumber. You have called us to be soldiers. in your army. And if we are truly His, truly a disciple, we are enlisted in the army of God. We've been enlisted, and You tell us to armor up. As we go through these pieces of armor, we looked at that our loins being girded with truth, that belt of truth. We looked at the breastplate of righteousness and these pieces of armor. And just on part one, we're just looking at the foundation of spiritual warfare and the importance of us understanding that this is not made up. This is intense. As time grows closer to Your coming, it will intensify. If you look around in our world today, if we're not having our eyes buried in the sand, or our heads buried in the sands, or are trying to keep ourselves distracted from all the things around us that's happening, that's unfolding right before our eyes, prophetic fulfillments are opening off the book of Revelation, and it breaks my heart as many that cannot see this, or they want to be distracted, as I would say, busy. That's being under Satan's yoke. That's being under Satan's yoke. He wants to keep everybody distracted, and we don't have enough time to pray. Oh, while we pray, it's so important to have that communication, to pray without ceasing, to have a constant state of recognizing Your presence throughout our day. That worship and that praise and that studying of Your word. Why wouldn't we want to have that devotion with You? That closeness, that walk with You. Oh, how many people today, especially here in America's out of tune with the Holy Spirit. As a piano is out of tune and it makes a horrible noise, that is the noise that you hear from those that have allowed their eyes to be blinded by our enemy. God, awaken us. Get us in tune with Your word. Get us in tune with Your spirit, and to walk in the spirit and less in the flesh, seeking to do Your will than ours, seeking to put the whole armor of God on daily and prepare to do battle with the enemy, seeking those around us that are lost, seeking those that are immature in their faith, to guide them, to direct them into maturity. There is so many Christians out there that are babies. They are still on the milk. I mean, the churches are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're walking around with their bottles still. Oh, how it's going to be devastating when it gets worse than what it is now. And in the third world countries, they were contest. They're dying for their faith. They're being imprisoned in cells. They're being beheaded. And we think we are immune here in America. Freedom is a fragile thing, and the more we move away from You and say we don't need You, God, we are gods, You will remove Your hand. It's already started, Your hand of protection on America, and she will fall if there's not a true repentance. I don't see it coming. I don't see people's heart truly transformed in a deeper level of wanting to go deeper into Your words, into your word, seeking You. See pockets, but collectively, no. God, strengthen us for the days ahead. Guide us and direct us to stand unashamed in your gospel. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark 4:36-41. You may have heard this preached before. If you follow this ministry at any time length, you've heard me preach on these set of scriptures before. There is so much one can unpack just within these few or several verses. But I want to here to try to paint you a picture. When we look at verse 36, it says, "And when they have sent away the multitude, that's disciples, they took him even as he was in a ship." Here, they are now separating them from the multitude, and they are going on a ship. And this ship is it's a boat, right? Most historians, Bible scholars put this ship or boat as long as a delivery truck and about as wide as your typical bass boat. Not a very large vessel. And in 36, that part, the other part is, "And there were also with them other little ships," meaning there were other boats following them. But what you see here is when the storm comes, the focus is only on one ship. Which gets me to wondering, did those other ships or boats, when they seen the storm coming, did they go the other way? Just a thought to think about. So the disciples are in this little boat, and here's a storm. And verse 37 says, "And rose a great storm of wind." Here emphasized great storm. I believe when God's word speaks of great, it's something that was beyond what we can really imagine that we could. It was designed for this purpose, right? And for the disciples to write about this. And when they would say great storm of wind, and here it says the waves beat into the ship, that it was now full. Meaning the storm, the wind was so violently aggressive, it was pushing water into the waves were hitting this boat, and it was filling with water. And it was, here it says, getting full. So the boat's getting full of water, and they are sinking, if you want to think about it. Now, you may never have ever been in a little boat. I'm a country boy. I used to do a lot of fishing back when I was a child up to my teenager years. I don't do much fishing anymore. Just I work a 40-hour job, and on top of that, I try to study God's word and do this website and I preach in person and do Bible studies in person, and so there's not really a lot of room for. And then, of course, my personal time, right? And my prayer life and my Bible studying for me. Because I need that. There's really not a lot of time for a lot of other things. I would love to go fishing. But as a child, I grew up. I stayed in the swamp a lot. I did a lot of catfishing. And now you may not be very familiar with what catfishing is, but you can today, the power of Google search or whatever search engine you use, you can look up catfish, and there's different styles of catfish here in Louisiana. We have several. We have the mud cats, which are horrible eating if you ever ate a mud cat. Channel cat and blue cat, which are better eating catfish. Of course, there's a ton of different other species of catfish when you look at it, but those are the three main ones here in Louisiana. I used to love mud cats. I didn't really do too much with them because you can't really eat them. They taste nasty. Your blue cats and your channel cats, they tend to taste a little bit better. Blue cats are really good. So I would go out and I would fish for catfish. Love fishing at night. Also, another country thing is what we call trout lines. Basically, a line that you put in the water. You can attach it to a tree to tree. You put hooks on there with bait on there. And you let them sit overnight. And then you go out in the morning in your boat and you raise them up. Sometimes you get a alligator gar. I've caught gators. You catch turtles. It's just a variety of things, I have been in a boat when a storm has hit, and it's nowhere near as great as this storm, but it was raining pretty hard and my boat was filling up and the wind was blowing and I was trying to paddle, I didn't have a motor, so it was just paddling a wooden stick, basically, trying to get out of there. And I've dumped a boat over on myself in the water before. And where I grew up, there were alligators in that water. But I survived. Maybe you do fish and you have a engine or a motor in your boat and you can go out there. Maybe you have encountered rain and you were able to get out of it. But you could feel the force of the wind blowing and the rain hitting. Maybe you've been canoeing and you've encountered a storm. Most of us can relate though, driving a vehicle. And when you're driving a vehicle, you come across a storm. And in a vehicle, it's enclosed, right? So, but that wind, if it's violent enough with the rain, it can shake your car. It can rattle your car. And of course, with the rain, you can look up and you can see the lightning and the thunder. And of course, the scripture doesn't tell us that there was thunder or lightning, but I want to tell you that emphasize on great storm. I truly believe there was all the other effects of a storm. There was the lightning, there was a thunder, and then of course just the wind and the waves blowing. But I want to think, if you've never been in a boat, you probably, good odds are, you've been in your vehicle, your truck, your car, or whatever, SUV, and you encounter. When you encounter that physical storm, right? What were you feeling? When the rain was whipping across the car, maybe you're in, it's hailing and you can hear the crackling of thunder that's rattling you, and you can see lightning striking across the sky. What were you feeling? Now, disciples, they were not in a car enclosed. They were wide open. They were feeling the full effect of that physical storm. Now, I want to tell you, if we were in the same boat with them, with the disciples, we would respond the same way. Within that physical storm, guess what? There was that spiritual storm that was brewing inside of them disciples. And it brews in us too. When that spiritual storm hits, we can get very emotional. But we should not let our emotions overrule the presence of God in our life. if you're taking notes, that's a very important point I want to get across. We should not let our emotions overrule the presence of God, Jesus, in our life. Our enemy, Satan, and his demons, they want emotions to control us, because they know if we can let that grab our heart, we will not react the way God wants us to react. We will try to do it on our own strength. And guess what? We will fail. As disciples failed. They try to take this in their own hands, while Jesus Christ was right there, here, there in the boat with them. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that is the master of the storm, where they will find out. He was not worried of the wind and the boat filling up. He was there asleep in the back part, that hinder part, that back part of the boat. While their emotions are controlling them, while they're trying to operate in their own strength, I want to tell you, Jonathan Ritter will never be strong enough to endure. I'm just going to be real. I have a hard time just enduring regular life sometimes. I am weak. He is strong. I need Jesus Christ every day, every second, every minute, every hour. I need Him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ rests up on me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak," Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he pens this letter to the Corinthians and us today, he said, "Then I am strong." I know this is counterculture to today's world. It was, guess what, countercultural to Paul's culture too. It applies then as it applies today. Jesus Christ, his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for this whole world, right? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Paul said, "I glory in my infirmities, because in these infirmities, the power of Christ rests upon me and rests on us all," right? And then he takes it to another level. He says of in pleasure in his infirmities, and his reproaches, his necessities, and his persecution, his stress, and his distress for Christ's sake. He said, "When I am weak, that is when I am strong." And this is important to understand. This is what we have to wrap our minds around, guys. when we let our emotions control us. We are depending more on ourselves and our own strength. We're saying, we got this. Just take a sidestep, Jesus. I don't need you. I don't know if you do this, but it's not good, guys. We can be very emotional. I can speak of myself. I have got better over the years, but I can still get crossed over emotional real quick. I'm very emotional. But through the years, God has helped me to put those under subjection to His Word and to react the way according to His Word and not mine. And one part is to understand when we are weak, I mean, we need Jesus Christ every day. I know I do. And when we do this, when I'm saying we need Him, we need to have that personal time with Him daily. That could be reading and studying God's Word. And it actually should be part of that. And that's in our prayer life and our devotional time, our worship and praise time. And maybe you praise Him through your art. Maybe you praise Him through, but that praise and worship. We can praise and worship Him at our job. Everything we do. I do maintenance. And I'll be going through maintenance and I'm thanking God. Thank you, God, for the ability and the capacity to reason through things. Thank you, God, for the strength to pick up my tools. Thank you, God, for the very breath and my health. Oh, I praise your holy name. Thank you, God. That is a praise and that's a worship constantly in our... That is the praying without ceasing throughout the day, right? We're giving Him glory as we work through our day. And if we're at work, if you're at home, you can do that through your activities, depending on what you're doing. You can thank God. You can praise Him. You can be in a constant state of praise and worship and prayer throughout the day. I want to tell you, this gets your mind just as it needs to be on Him. That solid rock. I want to tell you, if I could not do that, I would be like that ship in that dark storm with the wind and the wave pressing on me into those jagged-edged rocks that will lead to my destruction. But keeping Him at the center of my life. And when I'm doing this constantly, when the things of this life comes, the storms of this life comes, the challenges of this life comes, the difficult trials of this life comes, my mindset is where it needs to be. Does it mean it's going to be easy? No. Jesus never promised us an easy life, guys. That is something a perversion of the gospel. The easiness of it. When they say easy, they're speaking of, oh, well, you will not have no trials or tribulations in this life. Everything, you will not feel the pain and the suffering of this life. That's what they want to tell you. But because you're a child of God does not mean you don't have immunity from the suffering. But what you do have is the Holy Spirit living inside you that will give you that peace that this world can't have. You look at that storm, you look at that difficult situation or trial, and you say, this will pass. This too will pass. And if it don't pass in this lifetime, it will pass in the next. For my eyes are firmly planted on my ultimate refuge. That solid rock, not that sinking sand. I will stand on His word and His word alone. I will have that fear of God in my heart, that reverence more than the fear of man. I know when I die, if tonight was my last night and this was my last sermon I preach, Lord, I pray as this is played at my funeral so those can hear the message of salvation and knowing that as a child of God, we will experience things in this life, but we can take comfort knowing it will pass. Two responses, guys, here. We see the disciples and Jesus Christ. How did the disciples respond? We don't have to guess. Verse 38, that last part of 38, verse 38 says, they said, Master, carest thou that we perish? And what did Jesus respond? He rose, he rebuked the wind, and he spoke directly to the sea. What does he tell the sea to do? Peace, be still. And in our scriptural reading, did it say, oh, the storm still raged? No. That physical storm ceased. And here in verse 39, that last part says, there was a great calm. And remember, I was pointing that great storm and a great calm. Within every great storm, there will be a great calm. It will come one way or the other. And then what does Jesus do? He looks at the disciples and he says, why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? Two responses, guys. Disciples, their response. Curious that we die, we perish. They're experiencing fear. More specifically, fear of dying in this storm. And that them questioning if Jesus cared. And of course he cares. And we can be that way sometimes when we're going through things in this life. We can say, God, do you care? Why am I going through this particular storm in my life right now, this challenge, this difficult trial right now? Do you care? Do you care I perish? Of course he cares. In this life, I, we will have many storms and challenges and difficult trials. God's word never promises that we will not. But a promise that he does give us is John 16:33. Said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. He said, you can have peace. And then he continues, said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Because you are a Christian, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ does not mean you will not have tribulations in your life. As I said before, we are not immune from those. But what we are promised is peace. Peace within those trials. Peace within those storms and difficult situations. Jesus Christ overcame the world. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and He is our true strength. He gives us the strength to look beyond those storms and those challenges and those difficult situations or trials. He gives us that peace. John 14:16-20 says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit. And He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it see Him not. All this world cannot see that Spirit of truth, which is Jesus Christ. And it said, neither know Him. The world does not even know Him. But ye know Him. We know who He is, or we should, for He dwell with you, and He shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And verse 18 said, I will not leave you comfortless, as another promise. And I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Let's read some more of this. He says, He that have my commandments and keep them, he loves me. We love Him, we keep His commandments. And he that love me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And Judas here says unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thy will manifest thyself unto us and not unto this world? It's a legitimate question. And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that love me not keep not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being ye yet present with you. Here it speaks of the Comfort again. And here is clearly saying the Comfort is the Holy Ghost. Verse 26. We don't have to guess what the Comforter is. Scripture lays it out very clearly here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, and he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And here, listen. If you're taking notes, jot this one down. This verse 14:27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Man. Wow. Peace I leave with you. Jesus says, I will leave peace. But this world don't give you the peace that I can give you. So cling to me. Cling to Jesus. That's what he's saying. He said, this world will leave you peaceless. This world will leave you joyless. This world will leave you bankrupt. It will dig that hole and drop and kick you down in that hole and bury you. It could care less about you. Never think this world is your friend. It is not. when we draw on the things of this world to give us peace, we're just setting ourselves up for the chair to be kicked from under us. Because all of it is sinking sand, guys. Jesus responds to them by looking at them, and what does he say? Why are you so fearful? Jesus said, look at this. Why are you fearful of this? Don't you know who I am? I am who I say I am. I am God Almighty. Yeah, I know the Trinity is confusing, but it's what it is. He was God in flesh. And that gets confusing. And I get that. And I try to explain the Trinity. I will fail. Us as human beings will fail almost every time trying to explain it. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three are one. But they each were different. But they were all connected. But they are one. Yeah, that's confusing. I get that. But that's not trying to break down the Trinity. It's not part of this this sermon. The take home here, guys, is this. Do you have that peace? Is your peace on the things that are occurring? Like, are you the things that you have, the things that you can hold on to that is not Jesus Christ? Are you drawing your peace from that? Because if you're drawing your peace from that, you're not putting on this armor, this third piece of the armor of God. You're not shining your feet in that preparation of the gospel of peace. That gospel of peace that wraps around our hearts, that affects our whole being, looks and centers on Jesus Christ, the anchor of our soul in that storm. In whatever life can hit us with. A lot of times when you're going about your living this journey, we will encounter things, and it's quick and it's easy to have an emotional response to a situation. But we need to pull back from that. And I'm not perfect, guys. I'm still learning. I will never tell you I have fully arrived to not getting emotional, because, what is that? You start boasting about it, then you step into it, right? And then you find out you can fall in the same traps. But here's the thing: we need to have that personal time with Jesus. Well, I have found out in my, I'm not that old. I'm 42, but I'm older than I was when I was, 20, right? Or 18, 17, 16. But what I have found out in my journey, and I still got more learning to do, is the more I inundate my life with the things of Christ, That is the memorization of scripture. That is devotional studying of God's word. That is the deep and devotional prayer, you know, praying daily. And the worship and praise. I'm less prone to step into that emotional response to that situation or that trial that I can get hit with. Because I get hit with that now. I'm thinking, God, what does your word say about this? And I'm trying to draw my mind back into God's word. And through prayer and through deep meditation of God's word. And seeking how he would want me to respond to that situation. In some situations can be very difficult. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that comes to our lives. And because he lives in us, he gives us that strength. Because we can't do it. Paul said, when I am weak, he is strong. And we need that mindset. As time draws closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, this world will get worse and worse and worse. Do not let people tell you that it's going to get better and better and better. They are feeding you a pile of stinky crap. And they put some flavor on there so you don't know it is. And I probably shouldn't use the word crap, but dung. Paul would call it dung. But they're telling you something that you want to hear, and it's not going to benefit you nothing when the world just constantly gets because it has to get that way. Because Jesus says, "In the days of Noah." Now I encourage you to go and do a depth study of the as much as you can on the days of Noah. And you will come out. Why would Jesus say that? Jesus is saying that it's going to be like those days. And I truly believe we are living in those days. Now I know that can be debatable. I get that. And I don't claim to be a Bible scholar where I've looked at all the Hebrew and just I study, but I don't have that much time to study like that. But maybe one day. But what I have looked at, we are pretty much living in those days, and it will get worse and worse and worse. And what we do, we stand on God's truth. And we warn people of the coming judgment, and that they do not have to perish, and they do not have to die in their sins, and they do not have to go to hell. And here's the gospel message. And if you guys follow this ministry, anytime you heard me preach quite a bit on salvation. Quite a bit on it. They don't have to perish. This life for a believer, for somebody that truly is his, is as close as hell as we will get. What's waiting for us is beyond what we could ever imagine. And praise Jesus for that. And I pray that you do have that peace that surpasses all understanding, and that you are putting your footing on that solid rock, Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, is the scriptures you've given me, Lord, I pray those that are listening that they just jot those down and go back to them. That they do their own Bible study, their own heartfelt study on what God's word says. That they cling more to scripture than this old foolish preacher that just loves Jesus with everything I got. And my heart stays broken when I look at the condition of this world. And it's even broken harder when I look at the condition of your church. Or the church. Not really your church, but the church. The world church. The fragment of it. They're professing to know you, but their hearts are so far from you. God, we pray for them. We pray for this world. I pray for everybody that is listening to this, that they reflect on this topic of peace and understand that this peace that you speak of doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from you, the Holy Spirit that's inside your true disciples, your true believers. And when we cling to your word, we cling to that time with you daily, we can have this peace with anything that we encounter, because you tell us in your word. You give us that peace that passes this whole world's understanding what peace is. You tell us you give us that peace, so it's just beautiful. The peace within the storms in this life. As we looked at the storm in Mark here, when the disciples were looking, they're seeing this great storm. But guess what? A great calm comes. With every great storm, there's a great calm one way or the other. It could be when we close our eyes and this is our last day on this earth, we get the ultimate great calm. Being home with our Father and with those that we know that were true to Him, we get to be reunited with Him. And we get to be reunited with many of the people we've read in the Bible. We'll see David, and we'll see Abraham, we'll see Moses, and man, the list just goes on and on. Wow, we'll see Mary, we'll see Joseph, we'll see Paul, we'll see Peter. Man, what a great reunion day that will be. We realize everything that we go through this life, if we can keep that in our mindset, we have this peace to press on. We don't let the storm dictate our reactions. We don't react to the storm the way the world reacts to it. We give the storm over to the one who is the master of the storm, that can cause that great calm in our hearts in the midst of it. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. I pray that you guys have a good rest of your day or night. Once again, you can always reach out to me through this website. You can reach out to me through Facebook, Twitter. I don't get on Instagram much, but you can reach out to me on Instagram. But the quickest way is probably through this website. If you send me an email, just make sure you just put in the subject heading, you know, Wake Up America Church Ministries, and then that helps me cipher to the spam, because I get so much spam. So if it gets sent to my spam, I won't see it unless you put it in the subject heading. And of course, if you're on my Facebook friends, it's easy to message me that way. Stay on Facebook a lot. I consider it a evangelistic tool. I use it a lot of times for evangelistic purposes. If you have my personal number, you definitely can text me or call me. I have those that do text me and call me if you have any questions. So love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.